It's been 5 days now since a Norfolk Southern freight train slammed into another train parked on a sidetrack in Graniteville, South Carolina. The resulting leak of chlorine gas from a rail tanker killed 9 people and injured more than 350, several dozen of whom remain in the hospital. Thousands of residents were evacuated and still haven't been allowed to return to their homes. Cleaning up the toxic chemical has been slow going. Matthew Wald covers transportation for the New York Times. He's in Augusta, Georgia, just across the state line from Graniteville. And Matt, explain why the cleanup of this chlorine has been so troublesome.
Well, they've taken a very long time to seal up the tank car that is leaking. It's now sealed, but only with plastic. The tear in it is so ragged and the car itself is warped that they have not been able to put a metal patch over it. And the plastic is good for now, but eventually the chlorine will eat its way through the plastic. What they're doing with that car is they're pumping another chemical in that converts the chlorine to a very concentrated form of bleach, and then pumping out the bleach.
Now, we're just talking about the cleanup of the spill itself, but it would still be, I imagine, a huge undertaking to try to clean up people's homes, the textile mill right next to the track, any businesses in town.
Right. The extent of damage there isn't clear yet, and the railroad keeps saying they've got to do a door-to-door, house-to-house evaluation before they know, but they don't really want to send a lot of people in while there's the possibility of new leaks. Chlorine clearly can break down all kinds of things depending on the concentration that was exposed, and you got to wait and see and go look at it.
Well, how do they figure out if and when it's safe for people to go back to their houses? What kind of testing do they do?
After there's no more hazardous chemical available to leak, you can go door to door, you can monitor the air in each place. The police cars here have these nifty little sniffers that are boxes about, say, half the size of a toaster oven with digital readouts. And you can do surface measurement of what products the chlorine may have produced on various surfaces all over the place.
What have investigators been able to piece together about what caused this crash in the first place?
They're pretty clear that a manual switch was left in the wrong position. What happened here is about 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, the 5th, the local train came into a siding, and they were supposed to have taken this manually controlled, hand-operated switch and realigned it so that a train coming through would not go into the siding. They found that switch positioned so that through trains would go into the siding, which is what this train did 7 hours later.
Now, in some parts of the country, there would be an electronic signal letting the oncoming train know that the switch was in the wrong position. This crossing didn't have that.
This is what's called dark territory, which means it's got no signals, and instead you rely on procedures and timing and radio communications. But maybe half the track in the United States is dark. The Federal Railroad Administration said today that the railroads ought to reform their procedures and ought to have the crews fill out something called a switch position awareness form so that you're certain you've left the switch in the position it's supposed to be.
And I would imagine lawsuits are pending.
Well, the local newspapers are filled with advertisements from lawyers who'd be just pleased to represent you in your suit against Norfolk Southern. So, yes, there will be lawsuits, I'm certain.
Matthew Wald, thanks very much.
Thank you, Melissa.
Matthew Wald of the New York Times talking with us from Augusta, Georgia, just across the state line from Graniteville, South Carolina, the site of last week's deadly train crash.